VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us here on the VCY America Radio Network. In for Jim Schneider, I am Dalton Windsor. For those among us today who are clueless, those easily and always distracted, like I once was, preferring to be entertained instead of made aware of what made America, of what it has taken to keep America, and the dire straits that our America is in today, are you awake yet? Mr. and Mrs. Clueless among us, are you awake? Are you paying attention? Do you understand what is happening in your country? Do you care? In an op-ed this week from a reporter, Alan Bergstein, speaking of America, he wrote this, that we are now a fascist, dictatorial swampland, Democrat Party howling in delight at the eventual, inevitable prosecution of Donald Trump. This was written, obviously, in response to this week's FBI raid on the Florida Mar-a-Lago home of Donald Trump. Friends, nearly, what, 2 years now of a Joe Biden presidency, and all the elite establishment and the, I'll borrow a term here, and the drive-by media, all they can continue to harp on to investigate is former President Trump. According to these we mentioned, we don't have any other problems. We don't have any other enemies. We don't have any other important threat or concern than just this one man, Donald Trump. Baloney. In this op-ed, this article we quoted from Alan Bergstein out of Boca Raton, it says this, mark the date in your memory, August the 8th, 2022. It was last Monday. It will be recorded in history as the Kristallnacht of American democracy. Basically, the day similar in nature to the German Nazis' opening salvo of fascism, the beginning of the extermination of Jews and democracy on November the 9th, 1938. Speaking of Monday, he said, Monday was a sad day for all of us Americans as our former independent federal law enforcement agencies, the FBI and the Justice Department, now officially both under the singular control of the Democrat Party, raided the home of former President Trump and confiscated all of his personal data without going through the legal processes of obtaining court orders to do so. They operated as agents of a radical political party, the Democrat Party, to begin the process of incriminating Donald Trump and thereby preventing him to run for office in 2024. All of the formerly independent federal agencies, Homeland Security, the IRS, and the Justice Department are now an essential militant part of a totalitarian fascist government that dominates and is willing and able to prosecute any of us who stray from the paths of the Democrat Party. Our freedom to speak, act, and think, as is guaranteed in the Constitution, is gone. And that goes for loyal Democrats as well. Speak the party line, or you're considered an enemy of the state and will be handled as such. As an enemy of the state. A traitor to be treated as such. This column from Alan Bergstein continues, never before in American history has a former president been falsely, maliciously targeted, investigated, singled out, labeled, even when he was in office, as treasonous to this country. For 3 years, the likes of Democrat Congresspeople Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and other elected progressives, these career politicians, with the backing of the entire media, educational system, and the elitist society, promulgated the outright lie that Trump was an agent under the domination in collusion with Putin. No facts ever produced, but the slime stuck to the walls and had its desired effect among ordinary, dumb-as-dirt Americans now howling in delight at the eventual, inevitable prosecution of Trump. They've all been tools of those now in totalitarian-like power. Bergman says, I point the accusing finger at them. Each and every individual supporting this current administration is part of the battering ram that has led to the destruction of the pillars of freedom that we once appreciated and lived under. And I might add, even taken for granted. Now gone, Bergman says, I'm holding them responsible. Prior to the actions of our national government on August 8th, such behavior was limited to nations such as Venezuela, Cuba, Communist Russia, Iran, China, and other dictator-run banana republics that we all rightfully denounced and repudiated. We have now embraced such fascist behavior, and we will all be doomed by such actions. No one will escape the bonds of dictatorship, which are now spreading among our national leaders. We're all doomed to be victims of a one-party system in control of every facet of our lives. My friends, relatives, and acquaintances who stand beside these recent actions are part and parcel of the cancer that has now enveloped this nation. These thoughtless idiots are all spitting into the closed eyes of those millions of patriots throughout our history who willingly sacrificed their lives to found and keep alive the democracy of our nation. Sadly, they died in vain. We are now a fascist, dictatorial swampland. May God have mercy on all of us. An op-ed from columnist reporter Alan Bergstein. Friends, it is always my honor to step in and never fill but try on these shoes of Crosstalk's host, Jim Schneider. And for the rare occasion that I do, every time I fill in, the news gets worse. The news gets heavier and heavier. If you are a proud American today, but you are not feeling the weight and the gravity of what has happened this week in our nation, then the column that I just read for you is correct. We are finished. We are that dictatorial swampland, and there is no hope for our country. Now, if you are a Christian American, well then, I trust you have already been and remain in prayer, interceding on behalf of a sinful, fading fast nation. And friends, to many, it is clear that God is not going to judge America. He is judging America. He has turned us over. Romans 1 talks about that. And he's turned us over to ourselves. Thus we get what we get. You want to murder babies in this country? You got it. You want gender optional? You got it. You want men using women's restrooms? You got it. You don't want God in your schools? You got it. You want pornography a click away? You got it. You want men marrying men and women marrying women? You got it. You want to lie and cheat on your taxes? You got it. You want to cheat on your wife? You got it. You want liquor stores on every corner? You got it. You want to worship sports and entertainment? You got it. You don't wish to vote and hold your leaders accountable? You got it. You want to follow false teachers? You got it. You want open borders? You want drug and sex trafficking in your town? You got it. Basically, We want everything in this world that we can get, except God. That's Romans 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, we became fools. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In John 3. Someone says, well, I don't want all of these things. Well, then why do we allow it? Why have we remained silent with a rabid lion on our street? We skip every town hall meeting. We skip every county commission meeting. We skip election day. We skip every prayer meeting. Will America repent? Will you and I repent before a holy God? Can we? Will God grant us repentance at this point? Is the principle of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 still applicable? The answer to that, my friend, may only be found in the people who identify, who truly are His people. We certainly wish that we could just come to you today and have a uplifting program. And as a Christian, as a Christian broadcasting network, we are not all doom and gloom. Our hope is not in our government. Our hope is not in the things of this world, anything in this world. However, what a tragedy. What a tragedy to one day, possibly very soon, explain to our children and our grandchildren what it was once like to be free, what it was once like to have freedoms such as we have always had, but then to have lost them. Friends, Exhibit A is before us this week. And what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to say, well, it's just politics as usual and just let it flow by? Or, friends, are we going to truly do something about it? Talking about the principles of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. We're coming up against the break here, but we'll remind you. I'll read this and remind myself of the great big if that comes along with that verse. If my people who are called by my name. We'll look at that and get to more of the headlines when this Friday news roundup and comment continues. Stay with us here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what formed Utah's Great Salt Lake?
Chris, the Great Salt Lake is much more salty than seawater because it has water coming in but no rivers leaving the lake. Whatever dissolved solids come in stay there, and as the water evaporates, the lake increases in solidity. It turns out that Salt Lake is really just a leftover remnant of a much larger lake called Lake Bonneville. When the Great Flood of Noah's Day drained off the continents and places water ponded and became inland lakes. Most of these lakes have since drained either through evaporation or through catastrophic failure of the natural dams which were holding them in. Lake Bonneville evidently drained northward through the Snake River Canyon within the last few thousand years. Chris, all the evidence fits that back to Genesis truth of Earth history.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
As is pretty much always the case on Friday, we join you for a Friday news roundup and comment. And the comment will be, of course, from you when, God willing, we'll open up the phones later this hour. Busy day, obviously, been such a busy week, and no way we can get through all of the headlines, but we'll do our best to share what we can. Our sincere thanks and appreciation to Sandy for compiling stories all of this week and her work. And, of course, we think of Dennis at Master Control right now and just the entire team that it takes a lot of folks to get this work done. Just before the break, we mentioned the principle of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, and very familiar to so many. Well, where the Lord God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Obviously, the context of this verse, speaking of Israel, God's people, yet the principle of the verse is certainly applicable to the church today, is it not? Do we not need a healing in this land? And is God going to do it through people that are not His? The exhortation, then, is that the church need be in prayer on behalf of a sinful, fading fast nation. I think of Brother Charles Stanley, and as he would often share, that we should bring all of our cares to the Lord, as the Scripture says, "Cast all of your cares upon Him, for He careth for you," right? Cares for us. We're to leave all our cares with the Lord, all of our concerns with the Lord, but then also trust Him as well with all of the consequences. Whatever that looks like for all of us, we certainly, as a nation and the Christian nation that we are, we need to intercede on behalf of our country. So we mentioned the stack of headlines, and this one here is one that we've got to share this with you. And yes, we're talking about the FBI raid on Donald Trump's home back on Monday. Florida Senator Marco Rubio was on Fox News earlier this week regarding the raid. You may have saw him talking with Sean Hannity. And his comments, brutally honest. And if we don't heed what he was here exposing, then I don't know what else. I don't know what else to tell you. Marco Rubio of Florida, he was telling Hannity, hopefully bring you this audio, saying that this administration, talking about the Biden administration, is playing with fire.
Look, I'm here in a very unique position in South Florida, surrounded by people that come from countries where this is familiar to them. This is shocking to Americans. But in Latin America and many of these, you know, countries around the world, here's what happens. A group takes power. One of the first things that group does is they begin to persecute and go after their political opponents. And then when the supporters of their political opponents begin to complain about it, they begin to target them and they criminalize opposition. And that's what's happening here now. They took power. They are demanding, and you see it on Twitter, you see their public statements, they are demanding, they want Donald Trump arrested, they want him charged right now, they wanted him charged months ago, years ago, they wanted him charged. And I'm telling you the next thing you're going to see here, Sean, because it's the playbook, and that is, they are now going to begin to say, oh, these Trump supporters, these Republicans, they're very upset, they're saying very angry things, we think they might be a threat, we think they're radical extremists, let's start arresting them. The next step in this process is going to be that people who are supporters of Donald Trump or just conservatives complaining about this are going to begin to get harassed are going to begin to get labeled as potential insurrectionists and are going to begin to get harassed by law enforcement. That's the next step in this playbook, sadly.
Marco, he went on to tell Sean Hannity that the raid on Donald Trump on Monday, it isn't about documents.
Well, I actually don't think they went in looking for documents. I think that was probably their excuse, that they found some Obama donor judge to write them a ruse. Yeah, they found some Obama donor judge to write, not even a judge, a magistrate, to write and give them the search warrant. I think they went in there looking to see whatever they could find. Their argument is, all right, we were here looking for documents. We didn't find those, but look what we did find. Or who knows what happened while they were in there, because the lawyers weren't allowed to see it. These people are obsessed. The far left, they will stop at nothing. People don't understand. This is the playbook from all over the world. The far left believes that their cause is so worthy that anyone who is against it must be evil, must be a criminal, and must be punished and put away. Look, this is one of the reasons. I know people hear this all the time. This is why elections really matter. We've got to take back the majority in the House and Senate so we can subpoena the records behind this and these other efforts, so we can bring in the director of the FBI, the attorney general, and force people to testify under oath about who told you what, who told you to do this, what was the justification behind this. This stuff needs to happen. And I hope we have to have the guts to do that.
Florida Senator Marco Rubio earlier this week telling Fox News and even commenting that, you know, it's not about these documents and what were they looking for or looking to do. And one more clip here from Marco Rubio where he comments on Merrick Garland. Do you remember him? Do you know who we're talking about here? He was a one-time Obama pick for Associate Supreme Court Justice who Obama wanted to replace Antonin Scalia, but he was never installed. Well, he's now the Attorney General of the United States, and so here's where Rubio commented on him.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, they can't say, oh, this is because of January 6th. They can't. So they thought this was a cute way to get around it. And they could say, oh, no, this has nothing to do with the Capitol stuff and the January 6th committee. This is because of the documents that he retained that he still has. And that's why we went in there. But we didn't find that. But we found all these other things that we think are incriminating. They don't know what they were going to find. That's the point. But look, you know this. And I think a lot of people that watch this program know this, but a lot of Americans are busy with their everyday lives and don't miss it. Every single day, prominent members of the left, prominent Democrats in Congress are demanding that Merrick Garland, that he indict Donald Trump right now. Forget about the evidence. They want him indicted. They want him put away in jail. They've been demanding that for months and months and months, as have, you know, many of these idiots who are commentators in these other networks that are giddy about it. Yeah. Some of these people are supposedly legal experts, and they say stupid and ridiculous things about how the law applies and how it doesn't apply. But I'll tell you where the danger is and the fire is here. Okay, what comes around goes around. And here's what's going to happen now. Now, one day, they won't be in power. And whoever is in power, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to do it back to the other side. And now we do become a banana republic. Now we become like those countries that people come to America to get away from, where there is no rule of law and where everything is politicized and where opposition to those in power is criminalized.
Well, of course, we're just sharing a few snippets there, but it was definitely worth hearing again in case you missed that earlier this week, shared on Fox News, and he mentioned Merrick Garland, and we're a few days removed from those comments from Marco Rubio, and just yesterday afternoon, possibly you heard it for yourself on the late evening news last night, but finally getting something from those in power, if you will, something official. Talking about why there was the raid by the FBI on former President Donald Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. Attorney General Merrick Garland, he is facing a list of questions after his comments yesterday.
Since I became Attorney General, I have made clear that the Department of Justice will speak through its court filings and its work. Just now, the Justice Department has filed a motion in the Southern District of Florida to unseal a search warrant and property receipt relating to a court-approved search that the FBI conducted earlier this week. That search was of premises located in Florida belonging to the former president. The department did not make any public statements on the day of the search. The former president publicly confirmed the search that evening, as is his right. Copies of both the warrant and the FBI property receipt were provided on the day of the search to the former president's counsel, who was on site during the search. The search warrant was authorized by a federal court upon the required finding of probable cause. The property receipt is a document that federal law requires law enforcement agents to leave with the property owner. The department filed the motion to make public the warrant and receipt in light of the former president's public confirmation of the search, the surrounding circumstances, and the substantial public interest in this matter. Faithful adherence to the rule of law is the bedrock principle of the Justice Department and of our democracy. Upholding the rule of law means applying the law evenly, without fear or favor. Under my watch, that is precisely what the Justice Department is doing. All Americans are entitled to the even-handed application of the law, to due process of the law, and to the presumption of innocence. Much of our work is by necessity conducted out of the public eye. We do that to protect the constitutional rights of all Americans and to protect the integrity of our investigations. Federal law, long-standing department rules, and our ethical obligations prevent me from providing further details as to the basis of the search at this time. There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approve the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter.
He personally did.
Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly. Where possible, it is standard practice to seek less intrusive means as an alternative to a search and to narrowly scope any search that is undertaken. Third, let me address recent unfounded attacks on the professionalism of the FBI and Justice Department agents and prosecutors. I will not stand by silently when their integrity is unfairly attacked. The men and women of the FBI and the Justice Department are dedicated, patriotic public servants. Every day, they protect the American people from violent crime, terrorism, and other threats to their safety while safeguarding our civil rights. They do so at great personal sacrifice and risk to themselves. I am honored to work alongside them. This is all I can say right now. More information will be made available in the appropriate way and at the appropriate time. Thank you.
Well, those are, of course, the comments from Attorney General Merrick Garland on Thursday. And maybe let's be optimistic about this. Maybe they're officially turning over a new leaf. Does this mean that finally there will also be news on the other investigations that we've been waiting to hear about, like Hillary Clinton, just maybe getting a few answers on Hunter Biden? Or how about Epstein? Just a thought. Maybe they're turning over a new leaf. By the way, we're just before the break here talking about this sealed warrant, this search warrant that they had. It was assigned to Magistrate Judge Bruce E. Reinhart, according to Town Hall News. And Reinhart's resume includes previously quitting his job with the U.S. Attorney's Office, which was prosecuting crimes committed by Jeffrey Epstein in order to start a private practice through which he represented people who worked for Jeffrey Epstein against the government. There's quite a bit to that that magistrate that signed on to the sealed search warrants. Oh, my. Friends, we're just really getting settled in here. Stay with us.
The one book that's been credited as one of the major catalysts for the modern creationist movement is The Genesis Flood, authored by Dr. John Whitcomb and Dr. Henry Morris. More than 60 years ago, these two men joined together to write a controversial book that sparked dialogue and debate on Darwin, Jesus, science, the Bible, evolution, creation, and gave birth to the modern creation science movement. While skeptics cast doubt upon the authenticity of a universal flood, The Genesis Flood places before the reader the theological and scientific basis for a literal acceptance of the biblical account. Replete with empirical data, this book provides illustrations, charts, diagrams, and sound documentation that harmonizes science with biblical truth.
The Genesis Flood is available for a donation of $20 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Crosstalk continues on the VCY America radio network. Before we get into further into the stack of stories here this morning, just having heard that audio on from Attorney General Merrick Garland, according to Fox News, there are many lawmakers already expressing doubts about the necessity of the raid on Donald Trump's Florida home. A Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky saying that an investigation into Garland himself may be necessary, saying that without question, I think the order to allow the raid on Mar-a-Lago on Trump's house has to be revealed. It's going to have to wait. It's going to have to wait until November till there's a full investigation. I don't know what all would be behind that, but well, time will tell. Something that's not been talked about too much, and hopefully we will have the time to share this today. But do you know what happened in the the hours that followed all of this going on in Florida at Trump's house? Hours after his home was raided, just hours after, a campaign-style ad was released on social media calling America a nation in decline. But having said that, the campaign-style ad vows that America will become great again. Now, if time permits, we've got a lot to get through here, but if time allows here, God willing, we'll bring you that audio, so you'll have to stay with us for that. You'll want to hear this, with a headline that says, "It's time to start talking about making America great again." So another huge story this week, surely you've heard about this one as well, the announcement of 87,000 new IRS agents. This one's been getting the ink, as they say, all this week. Several on our stack here talking about that this week. And in front of me here is, I see a picture of Senator Ted Cruz out of Texas blasting Democrats over details in a reconciliation bill that would add 87,000, count that, 87,000 more IRS workers. Cruz shared the remarks during a Senate floor speech, apparently last weekend, that noted that Americans are not looking for more IRS agents. We're not looking for more IRS agents as an answer to the nation's problems. I believe we have that clip here.
Mr. President, with the support of every Senate Democrat in this chamber, schools across this country shut down over the past 2 years. Tens of millions of children were harmed. Today, Senate Democrats will have a choice whether or not they will harm thousands of school kids in Washington, D.C., and in particular, whether they will harm African-American children in Washington, D.C. In D.C., the rate of vaccination for students 12 to 15 is 85%.
I'm going to stop him right there. My apologies. We're actually running a different clip here. We're wanting to talk about these 87,000 proposed IRS agents. Let's get the right clip here. My apologies.
Madam President, there are a lot of bad things in this bill, but few are worse than the proposal by Democrats in this bill to double the size of the IRS and create 87,000 new IRS agents.
There we are.
I guarantee you citizens in every one of our states, if you ask them what do they want, they don't want 87,000 new IRS agents. And they're not being created to audit billionaires or giant corporations. They're being created to audit you. The House Ways and Means Committee, the minority, has put out an estimate that under this bill, there will be 1.2 million new audits per year, with over 700,000 of those new audits falling on taxpayers making $75,000 or less. I believe personally we should abolish the IRS. but at a minimum, we shouldn't make the IRS larger than the Pentagon, the State Department, the FBI, and the Border Patrol all combined. That's what the Democrats are proposing here.
Wow.
It is a terrible idea. If you don't want 87,000 new IRS agents, vote yes.
So also commenting as part of this this huge bill that's talking about these 87,000 new IRS agents. Now we'll get to the second clip in its right order here. But Ted Cruz was arguing that if Democrats vote in favor of all of the legislation, it will punish thousands of public school students. How many of you know you can't just go vote on one thing? There's going to be a lot of things in these bills. You got to read the entire thing. And sometimes you look at these, it's like, how could anyone read this in any short amount of time? But the subject quickly moves to COVID and where we are with that. And as we'll re-air this here that we started just moments ago, Ted says, D.C. Democrats don't care. They want to punish unvaccinated school kids. Have you heard about this? Out in the East, saying that if you're not vaccinated, if your children don't have the jab, they can't go to school.
Mr. President, with the support of every Senate Democrat in this chamber, schools across this country shut down over the past 2 years. Tens of millions of children were harmed. Today, Senate Democrats will have a choice whether or not they will harm thousands of school kids in Washington, D.C., and in particular, whether they will harm African-American children in Washington, D.C. In D.C., the rate of vaccination for students 12 to 15 is 85%. For African-American students, the rate drops to 60%. The D.C. public schools have announced any student that is not vaccinated is not allowed to come to school. If Democrats vote no on this motion to commit, they will be voting to tell thousands of African-American students in D.C., you're not allowed to come to school, your education doesn't matter. The right choice, to use a mantra used by Democrats often, is your body, your choice, and we should not be denying children education because D.C. Democrats want to force them to get a COVID vaccine against their wishes or their parents' wishes.
There is much more to all of that. Time will not allow us to get into this, but friends, we would encourage you to just be alert, learn of all that you know we're looking at as a country, and know what is going on. And we're doing all we can to keep up on things, and hopefully can bring you more of these stories, you know, as they unfold in the days ahead. Here's a headline saying, so-called Inflation Reduction Act, a massive power grab by Democrats, says Senator Cruz. Going back to these, and I'm just kind of scratching the surface, kind of hitting the tops of these headlines so that we can move along. We're going to run out of time if we don't. But he mentioned those 87,000 agents for the IRS. Here's a headline from American Military News saying that the IRS hiring agents must carry a gun, use deadly force during dangerous assignments. Yes, they would be required to carry a firearm and will be willing to use deadly force during possible dangerous assignments. This is the job description for these 87,000 that are looking to be hired. The special agents will be part of IRS Criminal Investigation Division, described as the service's law enforcement branch, which is designed to combine accounting skills with law enforcement skills to investigate financial crime. The position's major duties include maintain honesty and integrity, work at least 50 hours each week, including irregular hours, be on call 24/7, including holidays, weekends, maintain physical readiness to effectively respond to life-threatening situations on the job, carry a gun, and be willing to use deadly force if necessary, participate in arrests, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments. The IRS offering a salary between $50,000 some odd dollars and nearly $90,000 annually. So we'll see where we go with that. Many of the questions we've had questions come to our switchboard this week. Where would these 87,000 people come from? Well, that is yet to be told, I guess. But we have been our population is definitely growing, if you will. There's going to be a lot of people looking for work, or I think that is the case, or do we even want the work anymore? But something that really stood out in what Ted said is that this putting on the additional 87,000 more IRS workers, this would make the IRS bigger than the Pentagon, not just the Pentagon, but the Pentagon, the State Department, the FBI, and the Border Patrol combined. Talk about your big government. That's the proposal with this 87,000 more IRS workers. Many are already in the camp that says we should abolish the IRS. Many are saying that. Ted himself calling for that during his speech on the Senate floor. How does that strike you to have the IRS bigger than not just the Pentagon, but also the State Department, the FBI, and the Border Patrol combined? Talk about your big government. We're going to open the phones because we do want to hear from you today. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Friends, we knew there was going to be much to discuss regarding all of the happenings of this week. Let's get an opportunity to hear from you. And God willing, if there is time, we will get to, before the end of this program today, we're going to get to that audio, which was released shortly after the raid on Donald Trump's home. Practically hours after the home was raided, official campaign-style ad was released on social media. We have the audio, and hopefully we can share that with you here before we close out the show today. Speaking of Donald Trump, his influence definitely being felt here from Newsmax, completing a sweep of the gubernatorial and congressional endorsements of former President Donald Trump. Tim Michaels has won the coveted Wisconsin GOP gubernatorial primary last Tuesday night. And former President Trump saying, congratulations, Tim Michaels, on his win against a wonderful and highly competitive opponent, Rebecca Clayfish. Trump wrote this Tuesday night on Truth Social. He says, I know both sides will come together and defeat one of the worst governors in the country. Of course, Trump was speaking of Tony Evers. 1-800-733-9829, as we will be going to the phones here shortly. We're up against the break. We might go ahead and be able to get one on here quickly. Joseph is in Wisconsin. Joseph, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you, Dalton, for your work. I wanted to make a general comment about all of these stories and the common denominator among them. I think that we have an error in the way that we're approaching these issues. We are, as a church, we still continue to assume that we are in a peacetime theology. And I think that's our error. We ought to revisit the wartime theology back when this country was founded, specifically the Black-Robed Regiment.
Okay, Joseph, thank you for that. And others have called for the likes. And you know, so many times, how many times, Joseph, do we hear people, you know, Christians in the church saying, what can we do? And, yeah, get on a war footing and let us start in prayer. Amen?
We must do it God's way.
Yes. Joseph, thank you for your call. We see that Philip is waiting on the line in Washington. John is in Wisconsin. Another John in Minnesota. Stay with us. Crosstalk will continue here on the VCY America Radio Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, they have now passed on the Senate side what is really the Build Back Better light bills. It's being called $700 billion more to supposedly fight inflation. It's a definitely misnamed piece of legislation because it will only increase our inflation rate in America. It adds on a lot of taxes onto fuel companies as well as corporations. And of course, now you can expect your fuel prices to go up. The cost for heating your home will go up. The price for farmers will go up, which means the price for your food will go up. Folks, this is the manufactured chaos and crisis and collapse I've been warning about for a long time. Remember, I did 8 one-hour TV shows on the great collapse is necessary for the great reset. Are we paying attention? Well, as Christians, we understand much of this is helping to lay the foundation for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I'm Brandon House.
Already the final segment here as we get back to the telephones. Before we do, this was one that I know Sandy had wanted us to get on the air here, and she's been compiling these stories. And Alan Dershowitz has spoken this week. The FBI, of course, on the FBI's raid of Donald Trump, and saying that because they wanted to circumvent Trump's Fifth Amendment rights and seize anything they wanted, had they just subpoenaed any classified material, Trump could have claimed the Fifth Amendment, not as to the content of the material, but the act of production, Fifth Amendment privilege. The government would have had to give him production immunity, but if they went in and did a search, then there's no Fifth Amendment because they just took the material. The material itself is not covered by the Fifth Amendment. It's only the act of production. Since he's 1,000 miles away, he had nothing to do with the production. So that's the excuse that they're going to give. They were circumventing the Fifth Amendment rights of Donald Trump. This from Alan Dershowitz, saying that every judge grants almost every search warrant request, and there is no judicial oversight to speak of or for search warrants. So Alan Dershowitz weighing in on the subject this week. Philip is in Washington. Philip, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air. Hello, Philip. One more time. Philip, you're on Crosstalk. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I'm waiting for you to identify myself. I am a Christian. I believe strongly in America. I know that we are under the protection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God knows all the answers to all these problems. He knows when it's going to happen. He knows when we are going to come to the end. He has all of this. All we have to do is trust solely in Him. And so we need to pray. Pray every day. Pray on the radio. Pray all the time. Just pray, pray, pray.
Amen.
Please pray. I sent you a prayer document by Dr. Chuck and Joe Harding, and it's compiled an appeal to America for that very purpose, and it covers all of these issues. It is it teaches us to pray the word, pray the scriptures.
Amen. All right, Philip, there are others waiting. We thank you for your call today, and we certainly know to occupy until he comes. John is in Wisconsin. Hi, John, go ahead.
Hi there. With these vaccine mandates you talked about with the kids, and I was calling particularly about the military. Do you see a lot of these people have a certain belief system, and that this belief system that these people have that are avoiding the vaccines are maybe having some prejudice against them, and they're gonna find it hard to be able to front a military without these people that have this belief system that are patriotic Americans? Are they going to be able to find 18, 19, 20-year-old, 21-year-old people that believe in the country, believe in this belief system? And I'm just saying the belief system because this is the way worldly people think, because they can't say that they're persecuting this belief system. They can only say that these people with this belief system against this vaccine are not needed to guard the country or be in our school system with this belief system.
Yes. Well, John, thank you for calling. And I know that Matt Staver is on the front lines of fighting for, you know, these in the military and those who are, you know, saying no would, you know, not saying no to the forced jab. So we'll see what happens there. John is in Minnesota. Thanks for calling, John.
Hi, Dalton. Yeah, I just want to say, I want to share Abraham Lincoln's words. He said, it's up to the American people to overthrow the men. Well, of course, nowadays it's women, too, that pervert the Constitution of the United States. And I will say one thing about Donald Trump. Donald Trump has more supporters than 87,000 IRS agents. And it's time, yes, we do. It's time we get on our hands and knees and humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, when all we can do is pray, as they say, John, we are at a great advantage. Amen.
And it wouldn't surprise, yeah, we are at a great advantage. It wouldn't surprise me if Trump's leading them on a wild goose chase, too, because they cheated to get there. They cheated to get there, and they're gonna pay. And Trump's got more supporters than those 87,000.
Thanks, John. We're going to try to get one more on here. I do have a headline in front of me that said there were huge crowds at Mar-a-Lago in support of President Trump earlier this week. Brad, looks like we'll have time to squeeze you in here.
Hi, Dalton.
Hello.
I'm calling about the D.C. schools. They're also lawless with this vaccine mandate. Whether the vaccine is fake, like this one, or real, it's an emergency use authorized vaccine. And the people have a right to refuse it without repercussions, without punishment. On the other hand, the D.C. schools being one of the worst in the nation, this may be a blessing in disguise. They punish you for not taking a poison by not indoctrinating you. So, defund the schools.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. So, okay, all right. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the comments there, Brad. We are, I think we're maybe can get Mark on from Kentucky. Hi, Mark. If you go quickly, we can get you on the air.
Okay, thank you, Don. As we know, the powers that have made America into a melting pot, a microcosm of the world. We can see this, and it's been epitomized as an ideal example of the great city. For your readers, I admonish you to read Isaiah 47 and Revelation 18 to see America described. Thank you, Dalton.
Tell us those verses one more time.
Isaiah chapter 47 and Revelation chapter 18.
Revelation 18. All right.
Yes, sir.
Mark, thank you. And praying for the great state of Kentucky. You guys have been through so much down there.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you for the call, friends. that's it. We're not going to have the time to bring you that one audio. We certainly wanted to... The ad that was released, the audio of the ad that was released just shortly after the raid on the home of Donald Trump in Florida. But I'm sure you can find that somewhere. It is out there. But friends, thank you for joining us today. The Lord's Day is coming. We encourage you to be in a Bible preaching, Bible focused church, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.